Network, restoring vitality to you, the planet, and today, your skin. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, along with Martin Patella. Hey, Martin, how you doing today?
Beautiful, smooth, pliable, plump, wrinkle-free.
Warm day.
I wish.
Wrinkle-free, yeah, we all wish. We're at the stage in our lives where if we just have little wrinkles, we're happy, let alone no wrinkles. And for the last few weeks, we've been talking about the other side of the alternative health thing, which is, you know, why should we be healthy? Like, let's be sick. So what should we do to get sick? And we've been talking about genetically modified foods and why it's really important to make sure you've got lots of frog genes in your tomatoes. And we've also covered some really interesting topics on traveling and immunization shots and why it's really important not to breastfeed your baby, and even things that are kind of funny about why showering every day might not be a good idea, and of course the benefits of fluoride toothpaste to giving you illness, and even taking metavitamins and how they can help you get sick, because, you know, we want to present a balanced
this reminds me of CNN, you know, or Fox News or something like that, where they always bring two sides, right? Like they have they have the guy with the story, and then they have the counter story, and no matter how
bad the story is, there's always a counter story to it.
Right.
Yeah. Let's go and get weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, folks. Yeah.
Yeah. And the counter story is.
We should have gone anyway.
Yeah,
that's bad guy.
Yeah,
didn't matter. Right.
Oh Lord. Yeah.
So misinformation.
You know, I want to actually sidebar here because it's been on my mind a lot lately.
You know, Martin, why don't we just do a little sidebar here? Because I think you've got something on your mind.
Thank you. And it's this: I've been thinking about this war in Afghanistan and how there's this mysterious thing called the Taliban, and. And this mysterious thing called Taliban has weapons, right?
Yeah.
The one thing I'm sure of is there are no weapon factories in northern Pakistan, Afghanistan, nowhere in sight. Mm-hmm. So these Talibanis are causing us trouble, right? And they're causing us trouble. Yeah. And they're causing us trouble because they have weapons.
Yeah.
And there are two ways to get weapons. One is,
and it's the poorest country in the world, too, probably, right?
Right.
I mean, it's like nobody's got any money there.
Right. Well, they're growing a lot of poppies, and they have plenty of heroin to sell.
Mm, right.
So the issue for me is this. If you want to put an end to a war, wars are never won by shooting bullets. They're won by choking off the supply. You know, like the World War II over Germany was won by bombing the daylights out of German industry until it choked and couldn't run anymore.
Right, yeah. If you run out of fuel for your tanks and you run out of bullets for your guns, you pretty well have to decide on another way of negotiating your
situation.
That's
right, because you're known as the sitting duck.
Mm.
So anyway, the Vietnam War couldn't be won because there are no weapons factories in Vietnam. There's no way you can bomb Vietnam weapons factories because there aren't any.
Yeah, and you had China probably supporting
China
it.
And Russia,
no you want.
Yeah, China yeah. and Russia were supporting it. So then, of course, the Americans returned the favors to the Russians by supplying weapons to the precursor of Taliban in Afghanistan because Russia was wanting to battle the... I don't know why they went into Afghanistan. They must have had their reason. But anyway, the Americans went and shipped weapons to these freedom fighters in Afghanistan. And so caused untold damage to the Russians. So the question is, who is supplying money to Taliban? And who is selling the weapons for the money? Because I'm sure they're not doing it for free.
No. That's absolutely right. And, you know, the interesting thing is, too, when you talk about, like, following the money and everything else, when the Taliban was in charge of Afghanistan, there was, and I don't know if it was, like, 100 acres or 10 acres or 1,000 acres, but a very small number of acres were devoted to growing poppies.
Right.
Since they've been kicked out, it's like 10,000 more acres or 10,000 times more or whatever. So
let the bells of freedom ring.
Yeah. We're not getting enough drugs on the streets of America, so let's take out the one government in the world that doesn't believe you should be growing drugs, even if we disagree with all the other things that they're doing.
Well, no, right? I'm not sorry for them being taken out of power. I mean, I certainly am no supporter of burqa and public beheadings and you know, whatever it is. I mean, I'm sorry, folks. I'm not a fundamentalist in any religion. And I don't believe in fundamentalism of any sort. But anyway, that's getting political. But I want it to be economic. It's like whoever's interested in having this continue is allowing this to continue.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing that I'm left thinking is that the management, and by that I mean the Congress, president, or whoever's telling them what to do, are actually enjoying this war.
Hmm.
Because if they wanted to stop it, they can stop it, like snap your fingers.
Yeah.
Because all you have to do is choke off the money and choke off the weapons. So it must be either the Russians or the Chinese sticking it back to the Americans.
Hmm. Or the British.
Just kidding. They're in there. Maybe the French.
Maybe the French. Maybe the Germans are getting revenge.
No. They don't have any weapons factories worth writing home about in Germany.
I sometimes wonder if this isn't just a way to, one, test out the latest weaponry and the guns and everything else, and two, as just an outlet for young men to go someplace and have an adventure.
Right.
Who knows what they would do if they were all back here.
Okay. So anyway, so this was a sidebar into how to die quickly.
Yeah, right. Go to Afghanistan and step on a bomb.
Yeah. So now I want to go back to the original thing, which is how to die slowly.
Right. And today we're going to talk about skincare because we're all concerned about wrinkles and dry skin and all this stuff. And we have this huge, massive industry out there telling us our hair is too gray, our
skin is too wrinkly.
Is too wrinkly. It's too light. It needs to be darker.
Or it's too dark. It needs to be lighter.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah. And it's too spotty, and it has to be even.
Oh, yeah, you can't have freckles. And forget about a tan line. That's no good.
Oh, yeah.
And
so on, right? So there's all this pressure to perfection, you know, like perfection must be attained, even though it's not attainable. And we all have to try, and we have to spend enormous amounts of money and energy on trying to look good.
That's right.
That's a good
point. Which is all fine and good unless it puts you in the grave early.
Yes, exactly.
And that, of course, is a problem that we have with skincare. And the whole, like, rather than even calling it skincare, it really is, I don't want to, should I say the beauty industry or the, so, I mean, because when you, skincare is, there's one part, you've got your skin, the other part is, you know, we're all too fat and we need to be fit and we need to have six-pack abs. And,
okay.
And that's, all that is.
I guess that's the lookism.
The lookism of our society, right? It's, you can't just talk to somebody and see, wow, they're an interesting person, lots of experience. They've got to, but you know, you've got to have this. Beverly Hills 911 or whatever it was that
90210.
You know, there you go. Which brings me to, you know, and some people may say, oh well, you know, you're so what, right?
Yeah.
When we talk about the skin deep beauty and everything else, and there was a headline in the Associated Press just yesterday that we saw, which is a study of tanning beds. And basically the experts are now saying that your tanning bed is as deadly as arsenic or mustard gas. So I don't know
so
anyone
that's,
that wants
that's
to
just like going into the World War I.
Yeah.
And getting yourself exposed to mustard gas.
Yeah, and all the people that had all those problems when they came home. And so they did an analysis of about 20 studies, and they concluded that the risk of skin cancer jumped 75% when people start using tanning beds before the age of 30. They also found that all types of ultraviolet radiation caused worrying mutations in mice, proof that radiation is carcinogenic.
Right.
And
well, we kind of know that because people who are exposed to a lot of ultraviolet radiation tend to end up with skin trouble. I mean, they're visibly aging faster. Speaking of Afghanistan, I saw a picture from in the news, and there was this nice-looking guy, looked about 75, and he was the local caretaker who was looking after the, some kind of a support. I think he was sort of like a watchman and gopher, he would just go fetch stuff for the managers of the military base. Mm-hmm. A friendly local. Anyway, he looked about 75. So the reporter says, here's the interesting thing. Here's what the local lifestyle and climate does to people. How old do you think this fellow is? And of course, dramatic pause. And then she says, 52. And this guy was honestly just every bit as aged as the 75-year-old farmer from North
wow.
America. So, high altitude, outdoors, not terribly good food and all of that, lots of smoke.
Smoking lots.
Yeah.
Cigarettes.
Hashish. Yeah, stuff. So, anyway, so back to your UV radiation. It really is demonstrably detrimental to your good looks.
Yeah.
And yet, there's your tanning bed, right? How do we cause a skin to darken? Well, we must expose it to UV radiation because that's how we get the melanin in the skin to pucker up and come to the surface so that the skin darkens.
Yeah, and it's funny because most tanning beds are used by people under 30, and so they've seen a parallel in the number of young people with skin cancer and and the fact that more of these young people are using tanning beds. And in England, for example, melanoma, which is the deadliest kind of skin cancer, is now the leading cancer diagnosed in women in their 20s. Now, normally, you would see that in people over 75. So we basically sped up our lives, so we're getting stuff in our 20s now that we used to get in our 75s.
Yeah. There's a further complication, Scott, and that's this. It's the sunblock industry. I mean, this is the scariest thing. When you use sunblock, you are increasing your chance of skin cancer. This is the most insidious, bizarrest thing. I mean, there's this
It's also counterintuitive when you think about it, right? It should stop the sun from hurting me. But, of course, the sunblock itself is probably doing more damage than the sun.
Yes, and I don't know what it is. I don't have the science or the mechanism of action, but something happens when you put those things onto your skin that even though it's blocking the sun, it's not blocking the carcinogenic effects somehow. It's bizarre.
So we don't get that, red, blistering skin that we get when we're out in the sun too long, but we get the impact that has on our skin.
It's possible.
Blistering.
Possible like
yeah.
that. So anyway, one step back, one of the most important vitamins that we need to have, vitamin D3, is activated by sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
So all of us...
So it's not about not going in the sun.
No, we're all supposed to actually be in the sun. But it's possible that we're not supposed to be in a tanning bed.
Right.
It's like the refined sunlight is not good because refined salt and refined sugar isn't good either. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's just one of the whole spectrum of light that comes from the sun,
mm-hmm.
right? The UV.
Yeah.
So maybe the infrared counteracts it or whatever. I mean, we know people have been in Africa forever.
Yeah.
And, when was the last time you heard of somebody in 3 AD dying of cancer, right? Skin cancer. Just
not common.
Didn't happen.
Mind you, it was because the rhinoceros has stabbed you.
Yeah, there were other more pressing issues than that. I just want to do one last thing on the tanning bed and then leave it, and that is on this article there was a number of people that posted comments, and one posted, she said, from age 18 to 23, I used a tanning bed 3 or more times a week and got skin cancer on my abdomen when I was 33. So 10 years after, we have to assume that she used it less after 23. Maybe she didn't stop using it.
Actually, you're assuming she, but it's signed by Danielle.
Danielle. Oh, yeah. So maybe. I'm assuming it's a she, but I could be wrong.
It could be a gay male, you know.
It could be a guy, yeah. When I was only 27, I got stage 2 brain cancer, okay? Now, this is the part that we find fascinating and exciting and way to go, Danny boy,
yes.
Or Danny gal, is I cured myself both times via fasting, nutrition, and hydrogen peroxide therapy. When that happened, it amazed as he says, my silly Western doctors. Cancer is a big business in North America, so beware. Many cures do exist. I'm living proof. Nevertheless, I would suggest avoiding tanning booths.
Yeah, it's really... I mean, here you go, Daniel. I mean, honestly, that's a perfect comment in so many ways,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Which is... The other thing is our bodies are incredibly adaptive and resilient. And if you stop putting garbage on your skin and in your mouth, and exercising properly and getting enough sleep, you'll be amazed at the changes that occur just from that.
Yeah, so, I mean, speaking of cancer, the way I understand it, and I will repeat it to anyone, is that cancer exists only in an environment where there's reduced presence of oxygen.
Mm.
And oxygen presence in tissue is caused by presence of toxins. So, get rid of toxins and increase the presence of oxygen. So this Daniel, he fasted, and he increased oxygen by putting hydrogen peroxide into his system, which is the source of the oxygen.
Right.
Smart kid.
Yep. Good on you.
Yeah. And so let's go back to the skincare.
Right.
How do you get skin cancer? You put toxins into your skin. That's mm-hmm. the way to do it. So, how about this cute list of commonly used toxic skincare ingredients that you probably want to do without? Do with if you wish for skin cancer.
Right. Yeah, if you want to get skin cancer or problems with your skin. And I think these toxins impact your organs and stuff out, you know, below your skin too. Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, here's my funny, another sidebar beef, you know. We have this regulatory industry that says if it's a cosmetic, meaning if it's applied to the skin, it's not regulated as a natural supplement or a drug. So, like, you can smear some stuff on the outside of your cheek, and it's not regulated, but the moment you put it inside of your mouth, or the moment the manufacturer says put it inside your mouth, now you're regulated.
Hmm.
Duh. Anyway,
yeah.
So I wanted to mention sodium lauryl sulfate and sodium laureth sulfate. Those are the foaming things. That's the stuff that makes your shampoos foam. And that's why your natural shampoos are so lousy. Foaming. As in, people say, oh, this shampoo is no good, right? Because it's just foam.
Somehow we got foam associated with cleaning.
Yes. Well, there was another genius in marketing who said, rinse and repeat. Those were magical words in the world of shampoo.
Mm,
because
right.
Imagine that you wash your hair, it's perfectly clean, right? So you rinse it, and you put more shampoo on, and now it's really foaming fully, right?
Yeah.
Well, when it's foaming like that, that means that there's nothing to clean anymore.
Right. But you use twice as much.
That's right, which is a marketing genius.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the sodium lauryl sulfate we see all the time in all the ingredients. In fact, I would recommend, you know, pause this episode and get a few things from your bathroom cupboard and pull it out and see if you're sticking any of this on. You'll be amazed.
Yes.
So, yeah, so sodium lauryl sulfate, that's really good stuff if you want to get ill quick.
Yeah, and the other, you know, I mean, this stuff is completely restricted in Europe, but in the U.S. it's still available. This is DEA, MEA, TEA. These are diethanolamine, monoethanolamine, and triethanolamine. All of this, you know, ethanolamines. Liver cancer, kidney cancer, just, you know, enjoy.
Yeah, and usually if you're shampooing, you'll find it, or if you're doing a bubble bath, you'll find it there.
Yeah.
And they turn, they're basically hormone-disrupting chemicals that form cancer-causing nitrates.
Yes.
So like you said, you can't get it in Europe for good reason, but for some reason in the United States, it's no problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we're still willing. The American is willing, in the name of freedom, to ingest more stuff. I don't know. I'm just being cynical today. And so the next really cool one is polyethylene glycol. That's
PEG.
Yeah. You know, glycols, that's stuff that's in antifreeze, right?
So, okay.
Anyway, I don't think... Well, you know what happens to dogs that drink antifreeze, right?
No.
Their kidneys fail and they die.
Mm.
It happens to both dogs and cats, so that's why you're not supposed to leave antifreeze on the floor, because it's sweet. It's irresistibly sweet. Actually, I recall recently, well, a few years ago, there was an affair where Austrian wine manufacturer was adding antifreeze, polyethylene glycol, into their white wine to improve the taste.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Just as good as the melamine from the Chinese dog food, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so there's more, of course. You know, if you want, you can go on the Life Enthusiast website. We have, under education in skincare, we have the article that says, you know, avoid all toxic skincare ingredients. It's a long list. Yeah, the fun part was when I mentioned mineral oil, and you were saying, mineral oil, that should be a good mineral supplement, yes?
A good way to get minerals into your body.
Yeah.
Except you explained that it doesn't work that way.
Well, no, it's not that the minerals are in the oil, it's that the oil is of mineral origin. But what's interesting that recently I found out about a woman that suffered from these horrendous eczemas and allergy reactions on her feet. You know, it just kept on being red and problematic. Well, some 20 years ago, some doctor told her to use petroleum jelly on her feet.
Oh.
And she's been using it all this time. And she's been having all these horrendous reactions and not connecting one with the other.
That's the problem. It's hard sometimes for people to connect doing this to that result.
Yeah.
I think that's a major reason why we have some of the issues we have.
Yeah. I mean, how would a decent pharmacist or a doctor recommend petroleum jelly to be put on your baby's bum or on your girlfriend's feet? I mean, you know, I'm lost for words, you know, like, where's the logic, you know, like, what school did you go to?
Yeah. They don't think that deeply, that's, I think, for sure.
Yeah. And here's my most favorite one, fragrances.
Mm.
You know, as I walk past people's homes on my walks, from time to time I get hit by this exhaust fume of this, you know, fragrance. It could be sort of weird smell of violets or bouquet of something. And it's usually coming out of the dryer vent.
And
it's these, you know, the smell of laundry out of some people's homes is just nauseating. I don't know. Have you experienced that?
No, I can't say that I have.
It doesn't hit you like that, huh? I'm kind of sensitive to smells. Anyway, I keep thinking about the thousands of tons of these aromatic hydrocarbons that are being pumped into the atmosphere of this planet.
And they could be a greenhouse effect.
Well, maybe, but the point is that they have no business being made. and yet they're made by the barrelful. And then by these people, I guess unaware, I don't want to say the word that's on the tip of my tongue, but ignorant is what comes to my mind, is that, you know, when, I guess we need to say, they know not what they do, yes?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, fragrances, there is now a rising number of people who are actually really intolerant of fragrances. You know, like
right.
There are people who get instant headaches when exposed to something like orris root or some other basis used in common cosmetics. And I would just like to appeal to people to just be aware that you don't need to use fragrances to cover your natural body smell. If your body smells badly, it's because under your skin, in your lymphatic system, there's a rotting swamp that needs to be cleaned up.
Yeah, so don't cover up the problem.
Yeah.
That's kind of like I haven't taken the garbage out for, you know, 6 weeks. It's sweltering hot in the summertime, and it kind of smells.
It's swollen explosively. Yes.
Yeah, so maybe what we should do is get some
Christmas tree shaped deodorizer. No, they're not deodorizers. They're fragrance expellers, right?
Yeah, and get some of that and put it around to kind of get rid of the smell, rather than saying, okay, I have a problem, like, let's go fix the problem.
Yeah. Yes, yes. So, what else do we want to say here? To get sick, use artificial petroleum-based alkyl phenol ethoxylates, cocomide.
Anything that you can't understand what the words mean.
Yeah, diethylonolamine, you know, dimethylamine, or formaldehyde, or glycols, or imidazolidinyl urea. How do you like that? Anyway.
Well, I like the description of mineral oil. We'd mentioned it earlier, but it's another one that I just think needs to be emphasized so much, because, like, baby oil is just mineral oil, right? I mean, we're plastering it all over the place, think we're doing good things. And it's a petroleum byproduct. So basically, it would be garbage when they made gas, except they figured out that maybe we can get all these people to stick it on their skin. And it's like plastic saran wrapping your body, clogging up all your pores. And now you can't eliminate toxins, so you've got more of that stuff. And then you wonder why you got acne. Hey, the petroleum is clogging your pores. Your body can't do what it's supposed to do. The stuff just sits there, and away you go.
Yeah. Eczema, psoriasis, redness. Yep, all of those ugly-looking things.
Cool.
Very cool.
So there you go. You need to be careful. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, making sure you put lots of French fries and onion rings and, you know, fast foods into your mouth if you want to get sick and fat quicker. And so now, you know, make sure you're putting all of these cheap skincare stuff on your skin full of all sorts of petroleum products so that you can wrinkle faster and get more toxic quicker. So the stuff that you're putting into your body can't get out of your body because you've sealed it off. Sounds like a perfect way to end this particular episode on how to make sure you can get sick easily.
I think so. So support your local skincare industry.
That's right.
And support your local drugstore. They need you.
They need you, that's right.
Oh, by the way, if you want to avoid it, just straight coconut oil is just fine on skin, you know.
Mm.
Anyway, there are natural, non-toxic personal care items out there. You can find them.
That's right.
So, anyway, if you want to read more about it, you'll find it on www.life-enthusiast.com, where you can find listings for more podcasts such as this one. And if you feel like talking to one of us, call us at 1-866-543-3388. This is the old Life Enthusiast Co-op, restoring vitality to you and to the planet.
Bye-bye, everybody.